in light of the reality of what God has given to His elect in Christ, we turn now to the next section in Ephesians. And we see the word therefore. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, because of what God has chosen to do, because of who He is, because of what He has done in giving us this grace, that the Father has chosen before the foundation of the world, the Son has bled to be the acceptable sacrifice for our sins, and the Spirit has applied this great work of redemption that God has done, having sealed us. Now, Paul moves and he says, therefore, because of what God has done in eternity past, He is thankful when He hears of your faith. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I want to talk about two reasons to be thankful in prayer. The first reason to be thankful in prayer is because thankful prayer is motivated by what God does. By what God has done. What God has done. He says in verse 16, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. When Paul hears of your faith in the Lord, when he sees the love, when he hears about the love that you have for one another, Paul says, that motivates me to give thanks to God because it is a manifestation of what God is doing on earth. It's a visible, tangible manifestation of what Paul just wrote about, of this eternal God who in eternity past makes a plan to save sinners. Okay? So when that plan becomes visible, when that faith becomes sight, Paul says, this is amazing, right? I am so thankful for your faith. I'm so thankful when I see the faith of God's elect doing what God has said they will do, and that is that they would love each other, that they would believe in my Son. Because most of the world ridicules the Son of God. They do not believe in except those who were chosen out of the world, and they believe in Him. They trust in Him. They receive Him. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I can't stop praying about it. So that's a proper motivation for prayer. When we see what God is doing in other people. And what is God doing in other people? He's giving them faith. He's causing them to be born again. He's giving dead people life. He's making His enemies His friends. Right? And what does that look like? They believe the gospel. So when people believe the gospel, we give thanks to God. That's a motivation for prayer. So prayer combines what we believe about God with what we see with our eyes. And when we believe in God, what we see with our eyes will reinforce what we believe about God. And what we believe about God will reinforce what we see with our eyes. Or, in this case, we hear with our ears. I heard. Paul says, I heard. Right? When I hear of your faith, man, that makes me excited. Right. Why? Because it's the manifestation of God's grace being poured out on His elect, and I get to be a participant of that. And that causes me to do what God has called me to do, which is to pray, which is to be thankful, which is to give glory to God. And so this aspect of prayer is foundational. The more you know God, the more you'll pray. And the more you'll pray, the more you'll know God. And it's a wonderful cycle of encouragement, right? In the midst of a discouraging world. Yeah, I know the world is discouraging. But in the midst of a discouraging world, people are coming to faith. People are believing the gospel, right? And I can't stop praying and giving thanks to God for the faith that people are receiving, that God is granting to people, that people are believing the gospel. And as they believe the gospel, what is the manifestation? They're loving each other. They're actually loving each other. Now, is it ever perfect? No, but they're starting to. They're loving each other, right? Where they didn't love anyone but themselves. They're believing the gospel. They're repenting of their sins. They're loving each other. And so, thankful prayer is motivated by what God does. And if you can grab hold of that, verse 15, and see the connection between what God has done in saving people, as Mark wonderfully exposited last night. If you make that connection, if you can have the faith to believe that, then your prayer life will take off. Because we worship a God, we're talking about not a God who's passive, but a God who's actively pursuing people and saving them. So it's not like just people, all of a sudden I decide to be saved. Hey, thank you for saving yourself. No, Christianity is not a humanistic endeavor. Christianity is man can't save himself. Man's not interested in saving himself, but God saves them. He calls his enemies to be his children, right? So when we see that those who are formerly enemies of God, loving God, loving people, believing the gospel, we know it's God who's doing it. So we give thanks to God in our prayers. Pretty fitting, isn't it? So the first motivation for thankful prayer is to see, to hear, is motivated by what God is doing. The second motivation for thankful prayer is motivated by God's will. By God's will. When we accept that God has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, right? God is actively doing things. He's actively bringing people to faith and bringing them along in their life. In other words, they've been predestined to this. Arizo marked out ahead of time, and this is the direction of his of history that he's doing, and he's doing this to the praise and the glory of his grace, that we will rejoice in God's will being done. What does this look like? It looks like the Father giving wisdom. My summary statement is wisdom. The activity that the Father does here is the Father gives wisdom. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give you. Now he gives many things, and there's five things that he gives. He gives wisdom, revelation, enlightenment, hope, and power. That he may give you the spirit of wisdom. So thankful prayer, unceasing prayer, is when your eyes and your ears are in tune to your faith. So when you hear people believing the gospel, you're thankful. When you hear people loving each other, you're thankful. And because you're thankful, you're in tune with what God is doing. And when you're in tune with what God is doing, you understand that it's the Father who gives the spirit of wisdom. Now, what does everybody who comes to faith in Jesus Christ need? They need wisdom, right? What does the church need? We need wisdom. Why do we need wisdom? Well, because we're just saved from a corrupt world, and we need wisdom. Well, who gives wisdom? When you believe that God actively gives wisdom to people that need it, what is that going to cause you to do? Pray! Yes, ask, seek, knock. When you believe these things, when your identity is in Christ, and you're identified with what is true reality, then you actually begin to pray without ceasing. You actually begin to seek the Lord. You actually begin to understand that God actually gives wisdom. It's not just, so when you have wisdom, it's not just, I think I'll have what wisdom today? I think I'll just stop sinning it. No, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Father, the one who gave his Son, he gives wisdom. And so it's a request here that the Father may, see the word may, it's a request that the Father may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. These are all things that we need. So how should we pray for those who have faith? We should pray like this. We should pray in faith. We should pray believing. We should pray for one another that we would have wisdom, that the church, that you and I, that we would have the revelation and the knowledge of Him, that having believed the gospel, we would be continually renewed in our understanding, in the spirit, that is, in the attitude of our minds. That we'd have this attitude of wisdom. That we'd have this attitude of our eyes being enlightened. That we, Jonathan Edwards used to say, help me to believe what I believe. That's a great prayer. Lord, help me to believe what I believe. Because I believe it, right? But I need to be enlightened in what I believe. It's like the sun is starting to rise. This morning was a beautiful sunrise, right? And you see the light of dawn starting to come, right? But you still can't, you still couldn't pick out a book and read it. You need more light. You need to be enlightened, right? The sun needs to rise higher into the sky, higher in the sky. Now you can pick up your Bible and you can read it from the light that you have. It's like the gospel. The gospel comes and we're born again and we have light. Wow, it's exciting, right? But we still need more enlightenment. The sun needs to rise higher in our hearts so that we can see more in our lives and the implications and the applications of all that we have in Christ. I like what Mark said. Blessed are those in Christ. Blessed of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Mark said, I don't know what that means. We have a little piece of what that means. And that means we need to have this thankfulness in prayer. God, enlighten my eyes. Enlighten our eyes. Guess what? The Father gives that. That's why we pray. That's why we have a prayer advance. We need to advance in prayer. A prayer advances, a time advance in our prayer. This is going to be hard spiritual labor, okay? Hard spiritual labor is not it's not the fun, exciting thing of the world. It's not. It's not it. Hard spiritual labor is the, I'm working through this. It's labor. It's faith. And in the end, it brings such, the byproduct is such joy and truth and reality of your wisdom that you have. It's unmatched, right? This is what the Father gives. This is what we're here for, is to grant that wisdom. And look how Paul just freely, just under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Father may give you wisdom, the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Lord, help me to see what I see. Help me to believe what I believe. Help me to understand what I understand. Help me to value Christ, that my identity would be in Him, and that together with all the saints, we would grow in our understanding and knowledge and our expression to Him. With all the saints, that we would know the height and the depth and the breadth, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge in the church. And that results in hope, that you may know. So this enlightenment, that you may know. What is the hope of His calling? That you may know. What is the confidence of His calling? Again, we don't ground our Christian walk in our walk. The grounding of our Christian walk is in Christ. It's in the works that He has done. It's in the works that He has accomplished. It's in the glory that He has shown. So we need to have this hope in our calling, that our walk is a response to Him. You know, we've talked Ephesians 1-3 is the teaching, is the doctrine, and then 4-6 is the instruction. So it's a bookend, right? It folds open like that. So this is looking at what we have in Christ, what God has done for us. And Paul has said, hey, after that awesome sentence of all that God has done in salvation for the praise of His glory, we need to know the hope, the confidence of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Not of our strength, but of His strength. And so this kind of a prayer is motivated not in what we do, but in who God is. Amen? Amen. So, I am thankful in prayer because God gives this hope that we may know how to pray. And that teaches us to be thankful in our prayers all the time. Amen. Next point. the Son is exalted. The Son is exalted. Verse 20. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So there's three ways as we pray and seek this that the Son of God is exalted. And that is, which He, the Father, worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's the gospel. And seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That's His exaltation in heaven. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet. That's the earthly dominion and power that Christ has. Look up Psalm 110. Because of these things, because the exaltation of the Son, we can be eternally thankful in our prayers. We're thankful in our prayers because the Father gives wisdom, and we're thankful in our prayers because the Son is exalted. He's exalted in the gospel. He's exalted in heaven. He is at the right hand in the heavenly places. He is far above all principalities. There's nothing that can harm Him. There's nothing that can stop Him. And there's nothing that outdates Him, right? Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. There's not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be another one who's going to be superior than Christ or better than Christ. He's it. He's the one. He's the eternally exalted Son. He's at the right hand of God. And there's nothing that is going to be better or overtake Him and His kingdom and His reign. Now, that'll make you thankful in your prayer. Because you're seated with Him, right? You're with Him. You're in Christ. This is the one who is, all things are being summed up in Him. All of history, all the cosmos is being summed up in Him. And we're with Him. We've been chosen with Him, in Him, for Him, for the praise of His glory. This will make you thankful in prayer. So that when you believe this, what your eyes see will make you thankful in your prayer. What your ears hear, what God is doing in building His church because of the Son of God. And He put all things under His feet. He is ruling and reigning over all things, even in this world. Therefore, I am thankful in prayer. And there are so many opportunities to look at the expansion and the opportunities to advance the kingdom of God. Wow, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. There's so many ways to be thankful. There's so many opportunities to be thankful in prayer. Because of who God is, because of what He has done, because of His exaltation, and because He's untouchable, unstoppable. There's so many reasons to be thankful in prayer. If we have faith in the gospel. Next reason to be thankful in prayer is because of the church, which is His body. And He, that is the Father, gave Him, that is, Christ, to be head over all things to the church. And so, this verse here, verse 22, and he put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So verse 22, let's break that down a little bit. And He, that is the Father, gave Him, that is Christ, to be head over all things to the church. The interpretive key here is, what is the relationship of Christ's headship to the church? Okay? So you see the scripture there. And I believe the key is there that the Father gave Christ this headship. The Father gave Him to be head, okay, over all things. So His headship extends over all things. And then it says, to the church. And I think it's the preposition huper. And huper can mean in behalf of. On behalf of the church. So I think the key to this statement is that the Father gave the Son headship over all things for the benefit of the church. For the benefit of the church. Okay? So, in what way does Christ's headship benefit the church? In what way does Christ's headship benefit the church? To the church. On behalf of the church. The NIV puts for there. For the church. And I believe the answer is found in verse 23. That it answers itself that the answer is verse 23, that the benefit is, which is his body, Christ has been given headship, so his body, the church, can fulfill its mission. And what is the mission? The mission is that the fullness of him would fill all in all. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Why? Because that's what his body is. His body is the fullness of him who fills all in all. The incarnated Son of God, his body on earth, he left, right? And he said, it'll be better if I go away. Why? Because my spirit will come. The spirit comes. And now his incarnation is his church, the body of him. And he is head over all things on behalf of the church so that his body, Christ, on earth would be the fullness of him who fills all in all. It is the headship of Christ over all things that enables the church to be the fullness of him who is the all in all, so that the church can fulfill its mission. What is the mission of the church? Go in all the world. Make disciples. Baptize and instruct them. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you, even to the end of the age. So, in light of the reality of what God has given his elect in Christ, we are thankful in our prayers. When I hear of your faith, I'm thankful. When I hear of your faith in God, I am thankful. And that's not to stop. When we keep a God-centered perspective, our prayers will be full of thankfulness. Because I am so thankful that you believe the gospel, Jonathan. I'm so thankful, Asbeth, that you believe the gospel. I'm so thankful, Rob Huddleston, that you believe the gospel. Phil Guy, that you believe. David Ronzik, that you believe the gospel. I'm so thankful that you believe the gospel. Tim. Eric. Right? I'm so thankful that you believe the gospel. Joel. I'm thankful. This doesn't happen, right? That's a witness of the eternal plan being manifest in our day. Wow! Right? That just takes your head and snaps it around. Well, you know, we kind of forget that. That's why Paul opens with that, right? Eternity past. Eternity past is kind of an oxymoron, right? There's no past in eternity, but from eternity past to eternity future, right? As we think, time. God has a plan. His plan is being manifest now. When I hear your faith, I'm thankful because that plan is being manifest now, here and around the world, right? I see your love one for another. I'm thankful in God's will, because I know as I pray God's will, that God gives his elect, his church, wisdom. He gives us a spirit of wisdom. He enlightens us. He opens our eyes. He helps us have the faith of our calling. Our hope is in him. I'm thankful because the Son is exalted. He is seated at the right hand in the heavenly place. He's secure. His dominion is given. Not only in this age, but in all ages, and put all things under his feet, his earthly exaltation. I'm thankful that the church is his body, and that this headship extends on behalf of the church so that the church can fill his mission, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Therefore, I, along with Paul, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, right? We are very thankful. We have so much to be praising for, to give thanks to him. So, as we open up this prayer advance this morning, we're going to start with thankful prayer. Can you see it? Then let's stand now by way of application. And we got like 10 minutes here. Let's give thanks. Let's open up with praise to God and give thanks to him for this amazing grace that we have in Jesus Christ, this identity we have, and this opportunity that we have now to give thanks to him through prayer. Let's pray.